Hi, you're listening to View from the Top, the podcast where we aim to provide valuable perspectives and viewpoints from some of the key figures within the leather industry, as well as the latest news and insight from around the world. We upload several free episodes each month on the most exciting topics that are affecting the leather sector right now, available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Deputy Editor Tom Hogarth, and in today's episode, I'll be joined by Christopher Tyso and Dr. Martin Kleban from global leather chemicals supplier TFL to discuss the hot topic of bisphenols in leather. For context, the European Chemicals Agency, ECHA, is currently proposing restrictions on bisphenol A and other bisphenols of similar concern, with the consultation and finalization phase running for a minimum of 12 months. The restrictions imply that most other non-leather industries using bisphenols will need to reduce traces of BPA and bisphenols of similar concern to 10 milligrams per kilogram or less within 18 months, while leather will have an additional 5 years at 500 milligrams per kilogram or less. Hi, Chris. Martin, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for inviting us.
Good morning.
Brilliant. To get started, could you tell us a little bit about your current roles at TFL and your professional backgrounds? Martin, if we could start with you.
Yes, of course. I'm a chemist by education, and I have started to work at Leverkusen in 98 after the university and the postdoc stay in Ferrara in Italy. After some more general research, I moved into the leather department and worked about a decade on various product groups from the wet end range. Looking beyond the box, quality management was added to my tasks, environment, safety, sustainability, and finally regulatory, a process during which the work in the lab disappeared half the way. Having moved to TFL in 21, I now have to take care of a bigger portfolio, and so the scope of my position was retailored to be head of quality management, product safety, and regulatory for the TFL group. People may know my name from various publications on wet end chemicals or sustainability, and as a company rep in Tegeva, LWG, or ZDHC. I'm a concerned father, citizen, and taxpayer in the European Union with two halfway grown up kids and a love for high quality handmade stuff like food, leather, wood, preferably locally grown.
Brilliant. Chris, how about you?
Yes, Tom. Well, since the integration in mid-2021 at TFL, I am head of product management for wet end. Basically, I am working closely with sales and R&D to ensure we have the optimum product portfolio and cutting-edge application technologies to meet our customers' needs today and in the future. I first joined the industry in 1983 at a successful tannery in UK's famous shoe and leather town, Northampton, where I held the post of technical manager. In 1990, I joined the chemical industry and have worked for top multinational companies ever since. At my first chemical co, I started off as an international traveling technician based in Europe, and I worked in tanneries worldwide and ultimately became global product manager. In 1995, I was delegated to the fast-growing APEC region as regional technical manager. In this role, I continued supporting major tanneries to success, especially those that were moving there from the USA and Europe, but also some big Asian joint ventured companies. In 2000, I joined Bayer and was based at the APEC regional headquarters in Singapore, employed in a similar role. 4 years later, I was summoned to the headquarters in Germany as global head of technical marketing wet end, a location I've remained ever since. Education-wise, I'm a graduate of Northampton and Warwick University. I'm a fellow of the Chartered Management Institute and a proud fellow of the SLTC also. I have two daughters, one at university and one still at school. So despite the long CV, I have to continue working a bit longer. I'm a tanner, like I expect many of the listeners today are. So I hope that together with Martin, we can help clarify the somewhat complex topic on today's agenda.
And could either of you tell me a little bit about TFL itself?
Yeah, sure. I can jump in there if you like. TFL was originally comprised of the leather businesses of Ciba-Geigy, Rohm, plus Stockhausen. So basically bringing together over 300 years of experience. And now with Lanxess, it's a similar sized and highly complementary leather business has been combined. So you can imagine this is a big company. This means that we can now offer a unique and comprehensive range of products and technologies from beam house right through to the end and finishing. And TFL is present on four continents and over 90 countries with over 1,000 leather dedicated employees. We own production facilities in the major leather producing countries and regions, namely Europe, including not only Italy, but France and Germany, China, of course, India and Brazil. And the headquarters are in Rheinfelden, Germany. So TFL is one of the top performing leather chemical suppliers, exclusively focused on and dedicated to leather. TFL supports our tannery customers to success with environmentally sound solutions for their products and processes. And we're also proud to hold the number one spot in multiple sectors, including wet and sintans. And this very nicely brings us to the important topic of today's podcast.
Thank you. So let's start at the beginning. Martin, what are bisphenols and why are the European Chemicals Agency and others looking to prohibit them?
Well, bisphenols are synthetic chemicals that have a common structure consisting of two phenol units and a short bridge in between them. The letter behind the name describes the bridge, A like acetone, F like formaldehyde. The lead structure is bisphenol A, which is manufactured with more than 1 million tons per year in Europe alone, and is used as a raw material in polycarbonate or polyepoxide plastics or in niche applications like thermoprinting paper or stabilizers and brake fluids. All the other bisphenols add up to something like 1% of the volume of BPA. In animal trials, bisphenol A shows to be a weak estrogen receptor agonist. That means it can mimic a pregnancy and in this way prevent the animal to really become pregnant. Obviously, that has some impact on the reproduction performance, and as such, BPA is rated a reproductive toxin based on a hormonal mechanism. Apart from that, bisphenol A chemically behaves like the parent substance phenol, which represents an additional hazard for humans and the environment. Bisphenol F is far less investigated, but as the chemical structure is very similar to BPA, it is plausible to assume it has a similar hazard profile. Bisphenol S, which we know as sulfone, has an investigation level in between BPA and BPF, and that shows that it does behave substantially different from the other bisphenols. It is not acutely toxic, neither to humans nor to the environment. However, a weak effect on reproduction can be seen as well.
Interesting, thank you. Chris, I wonder if I could ask you a little bit about the types of bisphenols that are used in leather manufacturing and where they can be found in the tannery.
Yeah, well, I first read about BPA in the BLC journal in May 2008, way back. They had not found it in leather nor since, but it was widely used at the time in plastics, as Martin has already pointed out. Leather does not have a BPA issue. It's very important to stress. Strictly speaking, free bisphenols themselves as a molecule are not used to make leather, and so you should not be able to find them in the tannery. However, BPF can be formed during the manufacture of what we call phenol sintans as a trace impurity. And BPS is used as one of the raw materials for the so-called sulfone-based sintans. Only these two, BPF and BPS, are relevant to our industry, and only for the product group sintans and related blends. The free bisphenol content of sintans serves no leather-making purpose, and so we have massively reduced these and continue to do so. Fortunately, we have outstanding Sintan R&D resources, and we have levered these to our maximum advantage to launch a range of new groundbreaking, genuine, low BPS, BPF Sintans. So our customers are now taking advantage of this new chemistry to maintain both the leather quality and their business, of course, and still meet the stringent requirements.
Martin, Are bisphenols dangerous for tannery workers or the end consumer? And just how dangerous are they?
Oh, the positions are widely diverging here. The only common agreed fact is that bisphenols have a weak estrogen-like effect in mammals. Oral contraceptives based on estrogen-like substances are common in many areas in the world, and whoever has made experience with them directly or indirectly knows that there are some side effects, positive and negative. And comparable to that, a number of researchers from university have done individual experiments that suggest that bisphenol A and other bisphenols may have side effects to human health, even at low concentrations. On the other hand, there is the project Clarity BPA, the biggest study ever done on a single chemical substance. 14 universities, the authorities, and industry in the United States have come together to do a triple-blinded study to investigate the effects of BPA and then agree on a common conclusion. The Clarity project does confirm that BPA is a weak estrogen agonist. However, on all other aspects, it does show that there are no low concentration effects. And it also explains why many individual studies can come to false positive conclusions. European regulators choose not to consider the Clarity BPA results when discussing the risks of bisphenols in Europe, and therefore they see the need for a restriction. As a manufacturer of Syntans, TFL has assessed the workplace safety for our workers and for those in the tannery. And based on the most recent scientific results, the conclusion is that manufacture and use of Syntans is safe if the hygienic measures listed on the SDS are followed.
Interesting, thank you. The restrictions seem aimed at bisphenols in the environment. What's the situation there?
Today, traces of bisphenols can be found in many areas of the world, in water or soil, and from there be taken up by consumers or animals. However, bisphenols are biodegradable and do not accumulate like the PFAS, which are in discussion now. And because of that, the risk they pose can easily be evaluated. The project Human Biomonitoring for Europe has just given attention to this situation and made bisphenols one of the focus chemicals. The conclusion there is that despite the widespread presence of traces in the environment, the exposure of humans is substantially below the level of concern. At the same time, synthetic estrogen agonists are widely spread in the environment from their use as oral contraceptive. And phytohormones are substances made by plants that do have structure and effects similar to human hormones. They have been used for centuries in traditional medicine and are receiving more attention now that vegetarian diets become more common. It is not the task of REACH to regulate food and pharmaceuticals, but those sources together form a risk to humans and the environment that is bigger by many orders of magnitude than the one from bisphenols and should not be left out of consideration when deciding on the measures. Bisphenols are synthetic chemicals that need a classification, and so the sustainable decision is to reduce the emission into the environment, however, in a reasonable way that respects the risk profile and performance advantages.
Brilliant, thank you. Chris, to move that back to you, if we assume that bisphenols F and S will be restricted by upcoming legislation, can alternative leather chemicals be used instead, and would they work as well?
Very good questions, Tom. Thanks. Regarding the law, I think there is no need to assume anything. We are quite certain the restrictions will be implemented, even though, sadly, other far bigger sources of such chemistry continue unrestricted, as Martin has already pointed out. We are an easier, albeit far smaller, target. Genuine Syntans remain an indispensable tool to convert wet blue and wet white intermediates into leather. Syntans bind to the polar groups of collagen, resulting in genuine cross-linking by hydrogen bonding. This tanning effect is not achieved by applying existing polymers, fillers, and other auxiliaries alone. As we all know, sintans are essential in retanning to obtain articles with the desired fullness, tightness, softness, and fastness properties. Sintans also help to control stretch and give leather articles the required dimensional stability, together with enhanced durability. Tailor-made sintans represent numerous advantages, such as consistent quality, lighter colored leather, and they have a high dispersing effect for rapid penetration. For the same reason, some light colored, more light fast vegetable extracts are blends with sintans. In other words, we still need genuine sintans today. It's also important to note that the BPS and BPF residues in the sintans do not have any performance effect themselves.
Thank you. So how many low bisphenol sintans have you launched so far, and are they identical to the original Icon products?
Yeah, so far we've launched a core range of 6 sintans, already under the well-known trade name Tanigan. Initially, these are all liquids. So we have BNO and RLO, and both these are less than 0.1% BPS-BPF content. Then we have Tanigan LFO, FAO, VRO, and DSO. And these are all below 0.05% BPS-BPF content. They were all thoroughly tested under tannery conditions at several selected customers before launch. In case you're wondering, we kept the original Icon names so customers would easily recognize and be able to apply them, but we added a no, which means optimize, in case you're wondering. And these sintans, we believe, can closely mimic the performance of our existing industry standard Icon products. However, they are not a one-to-one identical copy, and the technical fine-tuning of the wet end retanning recipe may be required in some cases.
Interesting, thank you. Martin, what should concerned leather manufacturers do next about bisphenols in their leather processes?
Yes, the restriction is still in the shaping, and a stakeholder consultation is now running until June the 22nd. The associations of the leather world are already busy commenting and giving proposals for a more reasonable final document. However, the tannery involvement so far is very limited, and we have seen that it's the end user that really have impact when they comment on their problems. So if tanneries or manufacturers of leather goods do see a threat to their business by the upcoming restriction as it is right now, this is the time to tell ECHA about it. And to be able to do so, they need to know how much they are impacted and how much they will be able to improve within the time frame given by the restriction. I can only recommend to run some trials with a new bisphenol optimized sintans up to the production scale and communicate the results and consequences to ECHA before June 22nd, whether the results are good or bad.
So if a tannery wants to know how much they're being impacted, how can they find out?
Yes, in principle, quantitative analysis of bisphenols is straightforward. Contrary to other problematic substances in leather like chrome 6 or formaldehyde, bisphenols cannot be formed during storage or analysis, nor can they disappear. However, sintans do share structural elements with substances like vegetable tannins or azo dyestuffs, and quantification that would be simple in distilled water does get complex if it is from a matrix like leather. The European Committee for Norming is currently developing a test method that can deliver reliable numbers for the bisphenol from chemical formulation, process floats, and leathers. A number of analytical labs already have developed in-house methods from which CEN has started its work, and analysis can be commissioned to start chemicals and recipe improvement. In the drum, most of the bisphenol will be absorbed to the collagen fiber and included in the crust. As an estimate, 20% end up in the spent float. In conclusion, the concentration in leather can be estimated from the concentration in the sintan, taking into account the amount of sintan that has been used during tanning and retanning. As such, the proposal in the restriction draft to have the same threshold for syntans as well as for leathers is not optimal and gives an advantage to tanneries outside of Europe who can use syntans with higher residues and still respect the threshold for their leathers when they are finally imported into Europe.
Brilliant, thank you. Chris, how do alternatives to bisphenol-containing chemicals compare on sustainability and performance?
I think all are aware of the longevity of polymers based on traditional polyurethanes and acrylics, etc. However, we are increasingly developing and launching products that are based on natural, renewable, and thus highly sustainable raw materials. And you don't have to compromise regarding performance neither. Taking one example from our growing Pure range of products, MagnaPal Pure A has a 93% bio content and has an excellent performance profile comparable to, if not better than, peer group products based on fossil oil. With syntans, we're also working on this. We already have our first syntan approaching 50% bio content. Low BPS and BPS syntans will continue to play an important role in the foreseeable future. Thanks to our success in this field, we are particularly well positioned to continue our research to ensure customers can also meet any future regulatory demands with their processes and articles.
Brilliant. That's all of my questions, but is there anything else that we haven't covered on this topic that either of you would like to mention before we end?
If I can, yes, please. So please keep in mind that the vast majority of TFL's comprehensive wet end retanning portfolio is already completely free of BPS and BPF. These are under the following well-known trade names: Rettingen, Magnopal, Levotan, Blancarol, Tanesco, Drywalk, Leucotan, Lubritan, and most of Celasol. Of course, together with all the fat liquors and dye stuffs, etc.
Brilliant. Thank you. And thank you both for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for giving us the opportunity and the time.
That's all for today. I'd like to thank Martin and Chris for taking the time to update listeners on what the global tanning industry should look out for and be doing around bisphenols and leather. Thank you for listening to View from the Top, the official ILM podcast. For more of the latest news and opinion from the leather industry, head to internationalleathermaker.com.